Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If you were to seek out the answer to the question, what is God like? You'd probably find an endless supply of examples, right? Although like may be an inadequate term, inappropriate term, I don't know, to use when talking about God, it's hard, almost impossible, to compare God to anything. You see, there's this problem. There's nothing outside of God to compare him with. Anything, therefore, you use as a comparison is something within God's own creation. It's kind of like trying to compare a tree and all you have to use is a leaf. Or like a whale and all you could do is compare it to the fin. Normally, you'd go outside of the creature. You know, you'd say something like, you know, a whale is like the dolphin, but a really, really big dolphin. Or it's like the hippopotamus of the sea. That's probably why the Bible says God is like no other. And who is like God? But if you were to limit the question to what is God like in his word, in the scriptures, now we'd have, you know, a rich, rich supply of things to compare him to. Like, God is like one who is higher than the heavens, and yet he walks in the Garden of Eden. He transcends heaven and earth. He's as high as the heavens, and yet he can walk in the garden, Genesis. He transcends heaven and earth. God is like a burning bush that never is consumed. Thus he appeared to Moses, right? God is like a towering presence for Israel, a tower, a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night that led Israel through the wilderness those 40 years. That's what God is like. He's untouchable. He's mysterious. Or God is like a still, small voice that appeared to Elijah. Remember, not in the earthquake, not in the wind, not in the fire, but in the still, small voice that Elijah heard. That's what God is like. God is like a general of an army, a myriad of angelic hosts around him, as we hear in the Old Testament. God is like a husband that rescues his bride. He is like a mighty, holy lawgiver, and yet also a gracious forgiver. He provides forgiveness through his ways and means, the ways he does it. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices of the animals, but now in these last days, he's given us his Son. He forgives us through his Son. God is like a child, and yet a king. Christ Jesus, of course, thinks of Christmas. Our King of Kings has come, we sing. King for our sakes. He rescues us. He saves us. Man in God in one person. That's what God is like. Today in our Gospels, you might ask, what is just Jesus like then? And don't forget, we're in the season of Epiphany. So we say Jesus is the Epiphanied Word. That's what he's like. He's likened in our text today, I would say, to King Solomon. We studied King Solomon this morning. We talked about his temple today. But in the text today, you hear where the people came from because they heard about Jesus and what he could do in his healing work. So people came from Jerusalem and Judea. That's all of Israel, really. They came also from Tyre and Sidon. That is outside the kingdom of Israel. Okay? Now, that to me just screams Solomon's time. Because Solomon got the wood to build the temple from Hiram, who is in Tyre. So think of that. People from Tyre and Sidon and people from Jerusalem and Judea come from all around to see a great multitude of people to see Jesus. What does that scream? This man is likened to Solomon. Because during that time period, people came to King Solomon's reign. And so people come to Jesus' reign. They come to where he lives. He is likened to King Solomon, a glorious king, a wise king of old. He's also likened to no other. There's no way to compare Jesus, something he does in today's text, that no other prophet was able to do. It said that the power came out of him as people just came up and touched his cloak. People came up and just touched Jesus, and the power came out of him? What other prophet did people just run to and touch and be healed? No other prophet in the Old Testament has that happened to. So what do we say? Well, Jesus is like no other prophet of old. He's like none other, which really bears witness to who he really is. Not a prophet, not a man, but true God and man in one, right? He's also likened to Jeremiah. And we heard both Jeremiah and Luke today kind of contrasted side by side in our lectionary today. Why did they do that? Well, in Jeremiah, we heard what? We heard a curse and a blessing. Accursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, versus blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. So Jeremiah the prophet, when he prophesies, he talks about those who are cursed, the man who trusts in himself, trusts in man's strength and flesh, versus the blessed man, whose trust is the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. There's what the old prophet does. What does Jesus do as he comes and he begins the Sermon on the Plain, the Sermon on the Mount? He also gives us blessings and curses, just like Jeremiah. He's likened to Jeremiah in our text today. That's what we could say about this Epiphany word. And what does he say? Blessed is those who are poor. Blessed are those who are hungry. Blessed are those who weep. And blessed are those who are hated. That person is blessed. That's how he begins. Jeremiah starts with the cursings, and then he goes to the blessings. Jesus starts with the blessings, and then he goes to the cursings, the woes. A little different, kind of chiastic backwards, if you will. But those who are blessed are what? They're hungry, they're poor, they weep, and they're hated. Those are the people who are blessed, according to Jesus' word. You want to be blessed? I guess you have to be poor, you have to be hungry, hated, and you have to weep. So that's what happened, he says, to the prophets who were before you. They were poor, they were hungry, they wept, and they were hated. You want to be like God's people of old? You want to be like them? Well, then be poor, be hungry, weep, and be hated. Great is your reward in heaven. That's what he says. Blessed are you if all those things are true of you. On the contrast, who is the cursed ones? Those who are rich, those who are full, those who are spoken well of by others. That's what Jesus said. Those have woes to them. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now. Woe to those who laugh now. And woe to those who are spoken well of. For that's what they did to the fathers. That's what the fathers did to them, who were the prophets in the Old Testament. So Jesus makes a contrast of himself and Jeremiah, a comparison. That's what Jesus is like in our text today. One who prophesies like Jeremiah, one who is like King Solomon, and one who is like no other. That's our epiphanied word in our text today. What are we like as Christians today? I guess we hear about that in those blessings and curses. You might say this overall for us. We are cursed people. Why? Well, because we trust in ourselves by nature. And we trust in our riches. We trust in our technology. We trust in our own good works, not just for our own satisfaction and our own provisions, but also maybe even to please God, like the Pharisees did. That they were good people. I do good works. I please God. We trust in our own flesh. That's what Jeremiah called a cursed person. But that's what we do. And therefore, I guess you might say, we're cursed. We're rich. We trust in our own flesh. We trust in our own works. Likewise, or maybe not likewise, but better than that, Jesus also says, you are blessed. Not because of you trusting in yourselves, but because the Lord has epiphanied his word for you. Jesus is the epiphanied word who is like none other. He, as God, became poor so that those believing in his poverty, even his death on the cross, become rich in the heavenly places, rich with forgiveness, rich with eternal joy. Those who are hungry are the blessed ones. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's why you're here today, are you not? Because you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Out in the world, there's a lot of justice that's kind of hairy-carry. There's a lot of things in your life that are not right, that hurt. There's losses. There's pain. And you want things to be right again. Blessed are you because Jesus is the epiphanied word who became poor, emptied himself of all that he had, his life, that you might have life abundant, that you might see the joy, that you might see justice, that you might see salvation in the new heavens and the new earth that is to come. Blessed is Jesus who wept so that you have no tears in heaven. Blessed is the one who was reviled in this world. That's Jesus, who was spit upon and slapped and crucified and put on a tree because his friends, you, in whom he laid down his life for those whom he loved, might have eternal joy. How blessed are you if you've heard and believed this epiphanied word and the power to heal and restore, to make new and to make joyful all that is in Jesus' name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus.